You'd be hard-pressed not to realize that we're in the midst of an election cycle. Understatement to say the least, right? All you have to do is turn on the radio or turn on the TV, particularly in the morning, and somebody or some group is trying to get you to see things from their point of view and from their perspective. Whether it's a particular candidate who wants to change the world or a particular ballot measure that's going to make your life just wonderful and, you know, bucolic and grand and great, lots of money is being poured into getting you to see things from a different perspective. Now, for some, the election cycle is the second coming. People are looking for wonderful things to happen and wonderful people to be elected and wonderful all this and all this. For others, it's the zombie apocalypse. You know, we're all going to die and it's this and it's that and we're all going to do this. But again, they want you to see from a little different perspective. So you may be over here on this issue or you may be over here with this person and you may think you're being objective, but you're not. You're being subjective, and you're beginning to try to figure out what is going on. And that's okay. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to see things from the perspective that they want to see them. That's just the way some things in the world works. And then there's events that happen that I'm sure we would all absolutely agree that are horrific and horrible. And I, of course, speak of the two things that happened this past week in our nation, the sending of the crazy IEDs to people and that sort of thing. Some lunatic thought he would do some things to sway people's minds, perhaps, or to change people's point of view or perspective, or maybe he was just simply crazy and evil, which is probably more the case than not. And then, of course, the tragic, horrific shooting in Pittsburgh the other day, at the naming ceremony of a child in a synagogue. 11 people lost their lives, many people wounded, and we certainly would agree that those things are absolutely tragic, horrific, and evil, and we keep both the victims and their families in our prayers. And so we'd all be on the same page with that, correct? We'd all be on the same page to say that's absolutely wrong, that's a horrible thing that should have never happened. But sometimes there's another way of looking at the world. And I learned this as a young child. And that is through the lens of art. The lens of art. My dad would take me to the Chicago Art Institute on Saturday mornings. And he'd point out different paintings and try to explain them to me. We actually took a class and went behind the scenes. And they tried to teach, you know, young children the appreciation of art. And that was continued in grade school when we had these trips back to the Chicago Art Institute to go even further. So I've always had an appreciation for art and different things. So you might look, let's say, at a Jackson Pollock and see, yep, so Harley gets it. You might see a Jackson Pollock, and actually the abstract expressionists are some of my favorites, and you might just see smears of paint on a canvas, maybe with a cigarette butt planted, because that's what he did. You might look at an Andy Warhol, say the famous tomato can, the soup can thing, and go, why? And what is that about? You might look at a Rembrandt and say, that's magnificent. You know, look at the detail. You might look at the Mona Lisa and see her smile one way or see it another way, depending on your perspective and your point of view. You might look, and I remember when they put it in Daley Plaza in Chicago, the Picasso that's not titled. And it's this big sort of thing that looks like a dog that sits with one eye. And he never titled it. And people would go down and look at it, and it's huge, and they would go, what is it? We don't know what it is. But that's okay. That's subjective. That's art is subjective. It can bring you puzzlement. It can bring you joy. It can show you something from a different perspective. Or it could be just something you might say, you know, my three-year-old child could do. But that's okay, too. Perspective, how we see the world, is important. The disciples last week in the gospel saw the world and saw Jesus from an opportunistic perspective. Remember, they come to him and they say, teacher, do for us whatever we ask. rather bold statement, whatever we ask, do for us. And Jesus says, you know, can you drink the cup that I am to drink? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? And immediately, trying to seize on the moment, trying to please the Lord, they say, we are able. And he says, the cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or left hand is not mine to grant. Is not mine to grant. They saw the moment through the eyes of opportunity, the eyes of elevating themselves, rather than what Jesus was trying to teach them, and that is that discipleship is grounded in servanthood, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. It would be a long, hard road for them to finally come to that realization after our Lord's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. But they would learn that lesson too the hard way. But for the moment, they sought the glory for themselves, and they looked at that opportunity as a chance to promote themselves to a place higher than they needed to be. Totally different perspective this morning. So the disciples, though they could physically see, were blinded by their pride, blinded by their opportunistic perspective, and blinded by the fact that they thought they needed to see something that they really didn't need to see. This morning, Jesus uses the moment of healing as a teaching moment. So they're on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and there is this blind beggar sitting at the side of the road, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, no doubt, had heard of our Lord's wonderful, miraculous healings. And so he's waiting for Jesus to come by. And this story, we know, is absolutely authentic because we find it in Matthew's gospel, and we find it in Luke's gospel as well, with a little bit of different twist. In Matthew's gospel, there are actually two blind people. In Luke's gospel, we get a little bit more detail because that's the way Luke writes. But Mark is very concise and very precise about how he's telling the story. And so Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road, and here comes Jesus with his disciples and this great multitude that was following him. And Bartimaeus begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people tell him, hush, you know, be quiet. Don't bother the teacher. He cries out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, though he cannot see physically, has eyes of faith. In simply using the phrase, Jesus, Son of David, somehow, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, it has been revealed to him that indeed Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus can do these miraculous healings. Not just Jesus, but Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Bartimaeus is pouring his heart out, believing with the eyes of faith, though he can't physically see, that Jesus can do something for him. And Jesus says, you know, call him, bring him to me. And we're told Bartimaeus springs up. You can just imagine the elation, the joy. He's now going to get to meet his master, his Lord. And so Jesus says to him, like he said to the disciples, what would you like me to do for you? Now remember the disciples' response was, let me sit one at your right hand, one at your left, when you come into your glory. Bartimaeus simply says, let me regain my sight. Let me regain my sight. I pour out myself at your mercy. If it is your gracious will to give me my sight back, so be it. And so he couldn't see, but with the heart of faith, he could. And Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. Immediately go your way. Bartimaeus doesn't bolt off. He becomes a follower. He goes on with Jesus, now being able to see with his eyes as well as his heart. To see with his eyes as well as his heart. And so that great contrast between the disciples being physically able to see and being spiritually blind for the moment with pride and that sort of thing is such an obvious contrast that they have to be standing there going, what just happened? You know, what just happened? you know, we asked, and you told us you have to be the servant. He asks, he gets his sight back, and gets to go with us. You know, I'm sure I'm being a little bit facetious with that, but they weren't able to empty themselves quite yet. Bartimaeus was. And Bartimaeus, again, was not only gifted with the sight of his eyes, but the sight of the heart, the sight that's grounded in faith and hope and charity. It's that sight, beloved, that we should have in this world as well. It's that vision that we should have, looking always with the eyes of faith, looking always for the hope in the world and the love that we are called to share in the Lord Jesus. This week in the Diocese of San Diego, we got some news about the bishop's search process. And when I got the news this week, time for a little confession, I started Twitterpating a little bit because I wasn't particularly happy with the direction that the process had taken. And we're going to talk about that, if you like, at coffee hour this morning. If you have some questions, I'd like to update you a little bit. And I shared with our folks at the 11:30 Mass on Wednesday, and I got a little bit carried away. And I had to take a step back, and I thought to myself, you know, in the end, it's in God's hands. You know, I can't be like the disciples and say, this is what I want, although I know what I want. This is what I want, and this is the way I want this to happen. You know, I have to give it over to God. I have to empty myself and know in my heart of hearts that God is in charge of the whole thing. And in the end, you know, we have to see and live with the eyes of faith. I'm passionate about the whole process. I care about it because it could potentially impact our parish, and I want the best for us here, and that's an important thing. But in the end, it's more important to realize that God is in control of things. And rather than ask for things or seek things that perhaps we have no control over whatsoever, and we do that in our lives anyway, it's best, like Bartimaeus, to give it over to God, to simply say, you know, have mercy on me in this moment. That whatever you provide for me in this moment, your grace is sufficient for me, period. Give me a heart to know you. Give me a heart to share you. Give me a heart to love you. Give me the eyes of faith. Give me the eyes of hope. Give me the eyes of charity. If we simply do that, empty ourselves and turn our lives over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, indeed, we see the most beautiful painting we can imagine. Whatever it is, all put together, that wonderful vision that God has given us of us loving each other and serving him as Lord and Savior. May we have those gifts of faith, of hope, and of charity, and see not only with our eyes, but with our heart as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.